Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, you guys, and welcome to the Steel Wars call-in show. I am comedian Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. And over the next 90 minutes or so, we'll be talking the week's Star Wars news with you and our guest, Kevin Rubio, who, of course, is the man behind the awesome, the iconic Troops fan film and Tag and Bink comic series, which has had an exciting bit of news about it in recent times. But before we get to Kevin and your calls, and of course, if you're listening live, you can call in. The number is 646-668-8360. The number, if you're live streaming, it should be above where you're listening to right now, but it's 646-668-8360. If you are out of America, you're probably best to use Skype, depending on your phone plan. And to do that, just add a +1 or set it to your calling to America, and it will just come through like a normal call. And as we do every week, we keep the first 45 to 50 minutes on the iTunes feed, and then we go into bonus time for our Patreon supporters and for those listening live. And we've had an exciting week on the Patreon. We had a new show debut called The Robbo Report, and frequent listeners to the call-in show would know Robbo with his very intricate nitpicking of the Star Wars universe. So I decided to let him nitpick with me every couple of weeks for an hour. And he went deep, you guys. His first episode was 10 things that suck about The Empire Strikes Back. And he's currently getting a lot of heat on Twitter for several of his calls. The one that I'm enjoying at the moment is one of his things that he didn't like was, why would you ride a Tauntaun out to try find Luke Skywalker when you could just get a speeder? And I was like, well, you know, policemen ride horses still. And he's like, no, they don't. And then he's been inundated with people tweeting him reports of people around the world being searched for by police on mounted horses. So it is a wild ride, The Robbo Report. We've also got a few new Q&As up. And if you're in the LA area, you are attending LA Comic Con, I will be doing a panel with Chris Gore this Saturday at 1 p.m. at LA Comic Con, or whatever it's called this year. And it is another Dysfunctional Skywalker Family panel. So there'll be a group of Star Wars experts and comedians talking about that dysfunctional Skywalker family. But before we get to your calls, let us welcome our returning guest. He's done a Steel Wars interview. He's appeared on the call-in show a couple of times, and he also once helped me work out how a tripod worked, which was very special for me as a fan of his fan film work. Welcome back to the show, Kevin Rubio. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. How you doing?
I am very well. It's funny, you know, because I watched Troops in the late 90s, and I thought it was awesome. And I never thought the creator of that movie would be teaching me how to extend a tripod in the year 2017. But you showed me how to do it, and now my tripoding has been It's been better ever since, Kevin, I have to say.
Well, I'm happy to help.
I didn't know it extended out. I bought this new tripod, you guys, and I didn't know it had extra little legs, and I had it standing on a chair. And Kevin's just like, why don't you just extend it out a little bit more? And I'm just like, well, that's why you're a professional in the game. Now, it has been it's never a dull moment in Star Wars news. We just had a new Last Jedi behind the scenes video come out. Did you catch that one, Kevin?
I did indeed. In fact, I was very pleased that Rian Johnson uses the same terminology as I do, because he said holy crap a lot. So I was like, oh, yay, something in common.
Well, you've both contributed to the Star Wars universe as well.
Well,
apart from
so.
That,
just
a little bit.
Orgs,
Yeah. Well, he cheated. He saw birds. You know, anyone can see a bird and just say that's a space bird. That's pretty easy, I think. We've got. I'm just checking this out on makingstarwars.net. The new range of Hasbro ForceLink figures have hit retail, and I'm not sure if you're across these, but they're like the old Comlink figures from Phantom Menace, and you've got this little like wristband talker thing, and when you hold it by the figure, it talks.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that on a couple of the commercials.
Okay, and so we've got a few new ones. This one particularly struck my fancy. This is from DJ, the very mysterious character DJ. One of his sayings, he's got five things, but one of them is, oh, for Hutt's sake. So that's a cool new curse word in the Star Wars universe.
I will have to add that to the lexicon.
Yeah, you might get rid of this, holy crap business. Oh, for Hutt's sake. I wonder if they will catch on the same way Wizard caught on in 1999.
Hashtag, oh for Hutt's sake.
I love it. I love it. What are the Luke Skywalker ones?
Luke's is probably, this is not going to go the way you think, or something like
I
that.
Wish that was one of them. I love that. Like, that's my line out of the trailer. Just, I love the way it... I just love the way he delivers it. Who do you think he's saying that to?
I don't know, but I think he means that the Last Jedi is actually going to be a musical.
Well, that would be that would shock me. Although
that's how I interpret that line.
I would like to see the Pogs sing, like those little characters from It's a Small World at Disney.
Yeah, I was people are constantly on social media asking what movie do you want to see next, and they cite Kenobi or Maul or Yoda or that. And personally, I want to see a action adventure with Chewbacca and a Porg, like Smuggler's Run 2.
I think you might get a little preview of that in The Last Jedi.
Well, I did. Before Dark Horse lost the license, I did pitch a 6-part spy thriller called Our Man Chewbacca, which took him from the Clone Wars all the way up to A New Hope, and that he was like one of the best underground secret agents that the Empire, or not the Empire, that the Rebellion ever had.
Ooh, and what sort of adventures did he get? What sort of intrigue did he get up to?
It was basically a James Bond, Armand Flint kind of an adventure.
Did he say the line Barker, Chewbacca?
Well, because he could actually talk. The growling was just a ruse.
That's like Kaiser Solse in The Usual Suspects and that limp.
Yeah, and Solo was just a ruse. Yeah.
What do you mean Solo was just a ruse?
Well, in other words, that as far as him winning the Millennium Falcons fair and square, Chewbacca rigged the game because he needed a ship that could infiltrate behind enemy lines.
Ooh, love it. Love it. Now, you, a couple of weeks ago, got some very exciting news by way of, and this is how everyone should get exciting news, Twitter. That's how you get it. But
that's how I want to find out about everything that's going on in my life, is reading it on Twitter.
Well, that's how you found out what time you'd be live in New Zealand, you were telling me. So that's very exciting.
Yeah.
Ron Howard, director of Solo, a Star Wars story, tweeted out a photo with John Kasdan dressed in Imperial garb with Toby Heffermann, who I'm not that familiar with. But
he is He's the first assistant director for Solo. He was the first assistant director for Rogue One, a Star Wars story. And as I understand it, I think his sister is an actress in England.
Oh, okay. Very nice. So the assistant director, that's the safe spot. That's the safe spot in Star Wars directing. Assist. And they tweeted out Tag and Bink was the caption. And the implication is that your comic book characters that you created for Dark Horse Comics are now going to be in some way a cameo. What was that morning like for you, Kevin?
Well, it was one of shock initially, because I was going, oh, he's got to be kidding. And just in my zeal, I retweeted out the message, you know, holy crap, Ron Howard just made my characters canon, not really knowing if they were or not. And then about 5 minutes later, John Kasdan confirmed it, which was awesome. He said he was a fan, which delighted me to no end. And so, yeah, pretty cool.
Well, I have to correct you there.
Oh,
he didn't say he was a fan. He said he was a huge fan. So you're being a bit modest with this, but
forgetful.
For those that maybe haven't read the Dark Horse comics, give the sort of the conceit to what Tag and Bink get up to in the Star Wars universe.
The conceit is that they are two rebel officers who are constantly just out of frame, and in some cases in frame, kind of responsible for all of the mishaps and plot holes of Star Wars in the trilogy, in both trilogies, 4, 5, and 6, and 1, 2, and 3.
So how do they, I haven't read the prequel ones. How do they go back? Are they younger then, or is it just like, just deal with it? There's no timeline. Just enjoy the adventure.
Oh no, they're younger. They are 10 years old. I figure that they are roughly the age of Han Solo.
Gotcha.
And so they're Padawans. They're about, you know, 7 and 8 years old during the time of the Clone Wars. So Episode 2. And what they are responsible for erasing the Rishi Maze files when they were studying to pass a test. They accidentally downloaded a virus into the Jedi archives, and rather than be caught, they jumped ship and happened to be on the exact same transport as Anakin. And they are the ones that are dulling out the lines you know, about sand, and that, you know, your kiss is like a scar on me, whatever. I can't remember the exact line, but they're the ones that are feeding Anakin those lines, like Cyrano de Bergerac, in order to woo Padme.
Well, they did a bang up job, I after years of decrying the sand line, it's now, I love it. I there's no way I get rid of it. I it's so good. It's brought such joy to my life.
Oh, thanks.
So I guess it's this weird thing in writing these Star Wars stories and stuff, that now that your characters are back in, you know, the canon, you know, Tag and Bink was always sort of like a bit of a tongue-in-cheek sort of Star Wars comic, but now they're officially existing. And did you walk down the street now with an extra sense of pride that you're official, you're legit?
I don't think I walk any differently. It's cool to know that they're canon now, because I know that's a very select group of characters that have gotten the honor to go from comic books in the extended universe and have been adopted into actual canon. So it's something that I'm very tickled about. But you know, I still gotta pay $2.35 for a small cup of coffee at Starbucks. It doesn't change my life in any big significant way.
Well, maybe you'll get an invite to the premiere if John
I'm
is such
to
a fan.
A few tickets.
Yeah.
I
think that's only fair.
Certainly, like,
as would your current podcast host co-host.
Oh, okay. I will keep that in mind.
But I hope it doesn't make you have more gusto at the bar, because the last time I saw you at a bar, I walked away quite surly.
I'm drinking a beer right now as I talk with you.
Oh man, now I'm jealous. I've got a coffee. I'm in Vancouver at the moment, everyone, and I'm in an area of town where they've designated having like alcohol, like bottle shops, or I don't know what you call them, like liquor stores, a little bit too dangerous. So you have to walk a couple of blocks. But man, I have seen some. It is some of these streets are a wretched hive of scum and villainy, while other streets are beautiful, but very polite. Very people are very much living up to the Canadian stereotype. Now, I have posed a question. I'm very fascinated with the promotion of Star Wars films, and something that I started talking about on Twitter the other day that got a very heated response from some people is, when should the first teaser for the Han Solo, a Star Wars story, when should it drop? And because we're in this precarious position with, you know, two films in 5 months. So I find the way that Lucasfilm and Disney are going to promote this, I'm fascinated with, you know, are they going to try to separate it from The Last Jedi and not confuse the mainstream audience about two films? So I've got a survey. I love these little Twitter surveys you can put up now. So it's, when should the first teaser for Solo drop? November, so far, we've got 4%. With The Last Jedi's release, 40%. In January, 42%. And February, we have got 14%. When do you think the best time to start pumping up Han Solo would be, Kevin?
Well, the thing you have to realize is that the MPAA actually has guidelines as to when you can release stuff like this. And I believe a year is the earliest. And with Lucasfilm now being part of Disney, you have to understand that there's a larger picture to consider, in that you don't want one film quashing the potential money-making of another and confusing it, as you said. So my guess, if I was saying when it would drop, is probably going to be the Super Bowl, because traditionally, at least since Disney has taken over, they tend to release their trailers during Monday Night Football, which grabs a larger audience that normally does not follow Star Wars, as say all of your listeners might, and doesn't hang on every word, and they want to grab the biggest audience possible. And that January, I think Super Bowl is like the third or the fourth week of January. That should be more than enough time for everybody that is going to see episode 8 at least once will have seen it already and get them excited about the new one. So I think they're going to drop it third week of January on the Super Bowl, yeah, where they will have the most eyes. If I was Disney Lucas Marketing, that's where I would drop it.
I definitely think in the new year is the time to do it. I know a lot of fans, which I find curious, they want it to be with The Last Jedi. And it's like, aren't you going to have enough excitement that night or that week that you need to have a trailer for another film? And from like a more, you know, marketing point of view from Lucasfilm and Disney, you want that mainstream, you know, media buzz that a new Star Wars trailer gets. You know, you get that 24-hour entertainment news cycle. And if you put it at the same time as The Last Jedi, you're not going to get, you know, it's all going to be about The Last Jedi and barely a mention of Han Solo, when if you drop it in January, when Star Wars news has dropped off, then you get that couple of days of people reporting on the Solo trailer. And also from a buzz point of view, Disney and Lucasfilm, they want people coming out of The Last Jedi talking about how good the film that you can buy tickets for now is.
Exactly.
And if you put, you know, like a Marvel style end credits scene in, which I just find, come on, guys, let's respect the Star Wars end credits. If you're going to break it for anything, break it for Carrie. You know, have like, you know, something commemorating like her amazing contribution to Star Wars and to Star Wars fans.
I'm sure there'll be a nice tribute either at the very end or at the very beginning of the film. And to do anything else, as you say, to do an end credit sequence breaks the format of the Star Wars movies that has been established over the last 40 years. So you can't be at the beck and call of the fans. That way lies madness. You just got to do what Disney and Lucasfilm have to do what they think is right.
Yeah, and I don't know, like to have like The Last Jedi, let's hope it's such a good film that like we don't want something, like we just want to go outside of the cinema straight after and talk about that. To have like, you know, this conclusion to a film which we hope is breathtaking and keeps us talking for the next 2 years about Star Wars and contemplating what's going to happen in episode 9, to then have that interrupted by, you know, this Han Solo film, which, you know, unlike the Marvel films, which they're sort of continuations. That's why the Marvel universe in the cinematic universe is so different to Star Wars, is the Marvel universe is always pushing forward. Like they jump from different storyline, but it's all forward. Whereas, you know, in Star Wars, we've had, you know, episode 7, and then we've jumped back to episode 3.75. And now we're jumping back to episode, I guess, 3.5 in the timeline, if you're going to space it out. But yeah, I definitely think you want the mainstream marketing to be focused on The Last Jedi. And if, like, even if you dropped it in November, like, people that don't follow Star Wars that much, they're going to be super confused about what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, I know people that when I was back in Australia last month, and they were telling me, several different people were talking about Rogue One on different occasions, and they said, oh, yeah, about 20 minutes into the film, I worked out where it was, like, the timeline. So, that's another bugbear, that crawl. Should have had the crawl.
Yeah.
Should have had the crawl.
Well, they're trying to distinguish the Star Wars stories from the main arc. So, I mean, you know, I don't think the absence of the crawl for me personally hurt the film any. And I love Michael Giacchino, but I didn't think the score was up to snuff, and I know he only had a a limited amount of time to do it. So I try not to judge too harshly. But I thought the score was more disappointing than not having the crawl. But it's hard to live up to John Williams.
I always, you know, I've said this many times on the show, I just don't want to pass up another time to be in a Star Wars premiere and have the big Star Wars logo and then the crawl. Like, you know, we've only had 7 of those opportunities in our lives, and many of us weren't old enough to take advantage of all those opportunities. So, but also just for the, you know, for that layperson that went in and, you know, half an hour into the movie, they worked out, it's like, ah, this is before Star Wars. And I know for people listening to this show, that's inconceivable. Like, how could people not know? But it happened. I've got case studies, you guys. But
like, if you desperately want to crawl, buy the Flash Gordon Blu-ray and the old one.
Very good, very good, very good. All right, let us go to some calls, and the call-in queue, you'll definitely get in at this point. Give us a call on 646-668-8360. Let's go to San Diego with Patreon member Downtown Brittany Brown. What's going on, Brittany?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Brittany.
I love, you know, a lot of people have their little on-air catchphrase. You know, you got the Johnny Grasso, yo. You know, I'm a hey you guys type of guy. But I do like, maybe my favorite one is the Brittany just prolonged, hey.
Yes.
Get that on a t-shirt.
Heck yeah.
So what's going on, Brittany? You are our San Diego casino on-the-spot reporter. Has there been any drama at the casino of late?
Yeah, there was like this like major power outage in my office today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, like I was sitting there at work 2:30 in the morning, and like all the computers and everything just went blank. The lights were still on, thank God, but for the rest of the day, I was just sitting there just doing nothing because there was this big power outage, and apparently it was a big deal because it's still going on right now. So
what about the machines? Are they still working?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was just in my office because like we're doing a lot of construction in the casino right now, like up where my office is. Like there's these slot machines in that area, but they took them all down, put them back downstairs. It's a whole lot of fun stuff.
Now be honest, if the power was on in your office, how much more work would you have gotten done?
I mean, I would have just done more homework, but really I wouldn't have done anything.
quite a conscientious worker. Now, what's on your mind in the world of Star Wars, Brittany?
So, two things. One, about the Han Solo trailer. I think that they're going to show it right before The Last Jedi. I just think it's like an obvious thing, and I feel like we're kind of overthinking it. But, you know, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. But another thing is that I was listening to the Rebel Report on your Patreon feed. It was a great episode. And it made me think, you know, Rabo was talking about the flaws of Star Wars or the flaws of Empire Strikes Back. So which movie do you think has the most flaws of all the Star Wars movies?
Ooh. What sort of flaws mean? Like actual story flaws?
Yeah, because that was kind of what Rabo was talking about. He was talking about kind of like story flaws and, you know, how, like, the ships weren't new or something. That was just Rabo trying to throw something in. But I don't know.
Yeah, well, the reason why I asked him to do The Empire Strikes Back was it's so easy if you're an older Star Wars fan to find flaws in the films that you watch when you're older. Because, like, you know, when you watch, you know, the Empire or Star Wars or even Return of the Jedi when you're, you know, under 10, you sort of accept it all. And as you grow older, you don't sort of re-question it. However, when you watch, you know, a new film now, as an adult, you sort of, you're more prone to nitpick things that as a child, you're just like, yeah, I don't know, who cares? That sort of thing. But yeah, I don't know which one has got the ones that burn brightest for me at the moment are the second half of The Force Awakens. There's a few that scene with Phasma in that control room. It just needed a couple more takes. I just don't understand how this ruthless evil leader of they just have this casual conversation. It's very mellow. She seems very free to do whatever she wants in that control room. The tone of that conversation always struck me as weird.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, it seemed like that, you know, thinking that Phasma was going to do something or try to fight back. She was just like, no, I'm good. You guys go. Like, that's what it seemed like. So that's why I'm kind of hesitant to see her in The Last Jedi, because I don't know what kind of character she is now that it was so easy for her to, you know, take down the shields of Starkiller Base. Like, I don't know.
What about you, Kevin? What which movie you think has the most flaws in it? Whether or not
has the most flaws in it?
Or maybe a bit of logic in a film that you have trouble tackling?
Are we talking Star Wars or any movie?
Oh no, Star Wars. I don't want you coming at me with your complaints about the emoji film, all right?
Okay. I don't know, honestly. I think structurally they do okay. It's the dialogue where they tend to mess up, and if I'm judging that, then it would be episode 2 and 3 for the dialogue. But from a structural standpoint, I don't think there are too many flaws, at least not plot wise. I mean, episode 2 tends to get a bit Obi-Wan PI for me. You know, I felt like I was watching an episode of Magnum, and it just seemed convenient, how he was finding everything. I don't know honestly how I would answer that.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you try to like really go hard on the logic of the way stories plotted out. Movies never work because they're not real. And so, you know, it's all sort of derived to have an exciting end and stuff. So sometimes that's, it's fun to do, but it's almost like it's impossible for most films not to fall into that just by the nature that it didn't happen. But, What do you think, Brittany? What's great in your craw, if that's a saying, which it's not?
I don't know. You know, thinking about that, you know, I love all the movies, and it's hard for me to find like a bunch of flaws. So it's like when I really look into it, I definitely see Attack of the Clones as the main movie that has a bunch of those like minor flaws, you know, with the plot and definitely with the dialogue. That's something that George Lucas really struggled with during the prequel era, is the dialogue between characters. And you know, you go from, you know, Obi-Wan's dialogue to Anakin and Padme's dialogue, which I won't really get into because that's just another story. But I don't know. I definitely think that one. And I don't say The Phantom Menace. I feel like that one's a popular one, but that one's actually one of my most like favorite prequels. I feel like the story flowed fine. You know, I'm a fan of Jar Jar, so I don't classify that as like a bad film or like a slow film or film with many flaws. But I don't know, like all the films together, they have their little flaws, but I feel like we overlook them, not in a bad way, but we love them so much, and like nothing can damage our love for Star Wars.
Yeah, a lot of the time the flaws, like I find so endearing.
Yeah.
And the thing about, you know, when you think about the Anakin and Padme lines, like they're brutal. But then I think of the stuff that I probably said to my girlfriend when I was 16 or 17. Probably way worse. Like, it's probably some poetry or some dribble letter that, you know, would make Anakin Skywalker seem like the Fonz in comparison with the cheesiness of the lines. You know what I mean? So I've got to cut that Anakin Skywalker sort of slack, no matter how dodgy his sand comment was, which again, massive fan of the sand. Massive fan, you know. If you're gonna hit on Natalie Portman, tell her she's better than sand. How can you go wrong? Banging.
Or like be like Johnny Grosso and write her a poem.
Yeah, my advice for anyone is to do the opposite of whatever Johnny Grosso would do. Anything else going on there, Brittany?
No, I'm at school right now, so my class is about to start 7, so I'm listening to this before school. So thanks for entertaining me, as always.
Well, thanks for calling in, Brittany. You're pretty entertaining yourself. And you can hear Brittany with our buddy Emily Lind on the Canto Bite Dispatch podcast, where they dispatch Canto Bites, I assume. Is that what's going on there?
That's literally exactly what's going on. You nailed it right on the dot.
Thank you, Brittany. Thank you. All right. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Brittany.
Bye.
Now, Kevin, what is the film? I will ask you, what is the non-Star Wars film that you find the most illogical?
Oh, man. Probably, was it Star Crash?
What's Star Crash? That sounds like a film.
It was like a Star Wars ripoff in 1976. I think it's Eddie Deason's first movie.
Wait, it couldn't have been a Star Wars ripoff. It was in 76. Maybe Star Wars.
Well, no,
ripoff
it was.
Of that.
Well, it was made in 1976, but it wasn't released until 77 because they got, oh hey, we can make more money off of this now. So
banging. Banging. Yeah. And so what happens in that where do they go wrong?
It's just like one thing happens after another because they have to keep moving the plot along. It's like a guy finds an alien weapon that was left in the desert and he starts playing with it and it slowly takes him over and somewhere you have a stop motion animation aliens trying to retrieve it. It's weird.
So with the tag and bink thing, that was the tweet was the first whisper you had of it. You had no little any little under the table nudges that this was going to go down.
No, in fact, I don't know how many people knew about it, but I know that even some of the some people at Lucasfilm were like, well, I didn't see that coming. I think Leland Chi, who is the keeper of the Jedi holocron and one of the story people at Star Wars, tweeted that out. He said, I did not see that coming. So because of that, I'm pretty sure, you know, it's not, I don't even, and I'm speculating. I have no knowledge of this, but I would imagine Tag and Bink are probably just, you know, walk-ons, you know, in the in the background. I don't even think they have lines. I could be wrong, but as I'll take it either way.
Yeah, I imagined, yeah, you know, with the crew playing the characters, it's going to be more of a the sort of the cameo Easter egg for us watching, rather than, you know, a featured character. But it must have there must be a surge of interest with your back catalog of comics.
Apparently so. I don't have any numbers or I haven't checked with anybody at Marvel, but I think there's been a spike in people looking them up and reading them, the comics, within the last 2 weeks, simply because of the media, which is nice. It's nice that other people are introduced to your work.
Yeah, that is awesome. Now let's go to another call and 910, and I believe we've got John on the phone.
Hello. Hey there.
Hey, yeah. John. How you doing?
How are you guys?
Real good. Where are you calling from, buddy?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Nice. And when do you think this solo promotional campaign should begin?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I definitely don't think it should be before The Last Jedi comes out. But I think the Super Bowl, dropping the first trailer at the Super Bowl, is almost too late because it comes out in May, or at least it's still supposed to come out in May. And that almost seems like it's too little time, you know, to start promotion, but I don't know.
That's 4 months.
Yeah. I mean,
January,
you know,
25th to January 25th, February 25th, March 25th, April. That's 5 months to May 25th.
I don't know. I mean,
almost
but
half
when
a
you,
year.
If you look at the first trailer for, I mean, I feel like the first trailer for Last Jedi came out before that point, right? Or maybe
it was a teaser trailer, and yeah, it came out like 10 months before. But also, there wasn't going to be any other Star Wars for the next 12 months. So,
right,
that's,
I don't know.
The
like
problem
I said,
is that you. The problem is you only have a span of 5 months versus 12 months. Every other film has come out in December since Disney acquired it. This is the first one that will come out in May.
Right.
But every other teaser trailer has dropped around January, last week of January, if I'm correct in my assumption.
Yeah, and I guess like the previous movies, how they've done it, it just doesn't apply because this is, you know, having this 5 month film. That's why I find it so fascinating, because it's I'm just so interested with the strategy of, you know, do you promote what you've got to sell now as well as what you're going to sell later, or do you focus on the now? Because, you know, Brittany said before that maybe we're overthinking it, but I think people at Disney, with, you know, potentially $2 billion on the line with The Last Jedi, they're going to be doing a fair bit of overthinking themselves, because if you promote too much that, like in December, that you've got another film coming out in 5 months, that has to affect the amount of times that many people see the film. Like some people might just, like whether it's a conscious decision or not, but when you know you're going to have another film coming out in 5 months, you might not go for those. You might just go for the two screenings or the one screening. And there's also, there's the risk of cynicism of just like, oh, so there's another one in 5 months. You know, which sometimes I think happens with, you know, superhero films. People are sort of, you know, like when a really good one comes out, sometimes I feel like I really have to convince people it's worth going to see, because they're just burn out on the concept of them. But what's on your mind in the world of Star Wars tonight, John?
You know, obviously thinking a lot about the Tag and Bink thing with, you know, Mark Rubio being on, and then with the recent announcement. So I've been kind of revisiting that and thinking about that a lot. Just like, thinking about the future implications that maybe could have with like how much Marvel's doing now with the comic books. Maybe we could see at least a one shoot off of, you know, the Han Solo movie in comic book form with Tagging Bing. You know, I think if they can make a one shot off of how C-3PO got his red arm in Force Awakens, you know, maybe we could see a Tagging Bing special.
Oh yeah, is there any future tag and binking that you can hint at, Kevin?
You know what? I don't know. That is completely up to Marvel and Lucasfilm. Although Steele, are you near your Twitter message?
Yeah.
Click on that.
Yeah. Oh wow! What is that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so don't. We'll just let the audience wonder.
Oh, Kevin, you are very mean.
Yeah. So hopefully there are future ones.
Okay, John, what scenes or what occurrences in the Star Wars universe would you like Tag and Bink to have a unlikely say-in?
Well, see, that's the weird thing, because, like, you've already covered prequel and original trilogy, so I would think it would be in that Han Solo story that we don't know anything about. So it's, you know, I don't even know where where it
well, like,
could
I,
be.
I can't – they were alive during that, obviously, because they are in the movie.
Right. Well, it's interesting, because they should be – Rebel officers, right? But they're in the Imperial gear, so it's weird.
Well, they have a tendency to find themselves, you know, infiltrating the Empire as spies, and also there have been people that have speculated that the two guys that were walking the corridor and then backed up and turned around in Episode 7, The Force Awakens, were Tag and Bink.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
I can't confirm that,
but that is speculation.
Right, because I thought they died in the, you know, the when the Death Star blew up, but
and I thought they did too, but I can tell you as the creator of Tag and Bink, I sometimes confuse a Force ghost with a holo transmission because they kind of look the same.
Oh yeah, very true.
So. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
Hey, if Darth Maul can come back, you know, mm-hmm. Tag and Bink, they can come back too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look at Ben Kenobi sitting on the log talking to Luke in Return of the Jedi versus Ben Kenobi's holo transmission sitting on a chair in the Jedi Council. They kind of look the same. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's most telling when Hasbro brings out a hologram or a spirit of figure. They're very similar, very similar.
Yeah.
Anything else on your mind, John?
I don't think so. No, it's just great getting a chance to talk to you. This is my first time calling in and stuff, so it's great getting a chance to talk to both of you.
Nice. Well, thank you for being a Patreon, and don't be a stranger. Keep calling in. We enjoy it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Cheers.
Oh, hey, Steele, by the way, I have to, I know there are some nerds out there listening and yelling at the podcast right now because I'm confusing Laser Blast 1978 with Star Crash. Star Crash starred David Hasselhoff, Christopher Plummer, and Caroline Muro. Laser Blast was the one with Eddie Deason. So... I've been up for a while, so I'm getting my movies mixed up. But Star Crash was the Italian Star Wars. I recommend it highly. You can get it on Blu-ray.
Now, you're burying the lead here. There was a Star Wars ripoff film starring David Hasselhoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm all about that. I am watching this film. Amazing!
Yeah.
I'm excited by this news.
Star Crash, directed by Luigi Cozzi, starring Marjo Gortner, Caroline Munro, Christopher Plummer, and David Hasselhoff.
Ah, I'm in. I am very excited about that. I just got an interesting tweet reply to my little survey on Twitter, and just to let people know, we're now at 42% with people thinking January, 38% thinking with The Last Jedi's release, which spread out the excitement, you guys. But someone just tweeted me saying, we're still pretending Solo isn't getting pushed back to December. Okay. Now, it's not going to happen. It's coming out in May. The merch is getting made. It's so much more than a film. It's a juggernaut. There is giant stores that are relying on that merch being in stock in April to sell. You can't just bump it back.
You at this stage you could still bump it back.
Not the merch. The way like a Walmart and a Target, and they buy into all this product. Like, if you bump that back, then you've got to not only store the product, but then there's a big gap in, there's nothing to sell for 2 months. So I would be beyond, it would be they've had a tough time as it is, but the egg on the face of Lucasfilm and Disney to push it back at this point would be, I think they're just going to be all hands on deck. I actually should say, I'm going to pop around there tomorrow and see what I can see, but I am, I'm about 5 minutes away from ILM Vancouver, which is exciting.
If pushing it back makes a better film, then, woe is you. You don't, viewing going audience, they have to wait another 6 months. You know, when I was a kid, I had to wait 3 years for a Star Wars movie. Now I get one every year.
Yeah, that's my most, and it's sort of ironic that my most mature aspect in my life is my patience for Star Wars films, which is.
I'm sure your wife is very pleased.
we've hit the 55-minute mark, so we will hit the Patreon supporter section. If you're listening live, keep listening because the show will continue. If you are on iTunes or listening on demand, we're about to leave you, but you can join us for all the bonus content, like the Robbo report that has been very controversial, and the bonus shows. But before we leave the wider audience, Kevin, let the good people know where they can find you online.
You can find me online on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at the Kevin Rubio.
Excellent. And you can find me at Steel Wars, and we've got another caller to go to in the bonus section. So thank you to everyone in the chat room. Thank you to everyone listening both live and on demand. And as we go into the Patreon bonus section, I will wish you that May...
I'm going to spoil episode 8. Luke Skywalker is actually...
Oh my God, this is hate. Rubio's gone all Jason Ward on us in the bonus section. We'll see you there. There's no false sizzle. May that force be with you. All righty. We have got Skype caller online. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Andy from Melbourne.
Hey, Andy,
Andy
from
Campbell.
Melbourne.
How you doing, buddy?
That's the one. I'm good. How are you, Steele?
I'm really good. How are you calling in, given that it's in the middle of the day on a Friday?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.